Well, it's football season. I'm not going to preach about football, but there's nothing that says pressing toward the goal like a football inches from a touchdown, except maybe a football crossing into the end zone for a touchdown in somebody's arms. But as we think about pressing toward the goal this morning, and I know we've been doing the Sermon on the Mount, and we're kind of taking a little break of that from that at the end of the year here, and we're going to get back into that next week as we get into the first of the next year. But we want to think about goals. We want to think about where are we headed. You know, of course, probably one of the most famous people in all of football was Wrong Way Corrigan, who got the ball but ran the wrong way and scored for the other team. You know, wound up getting a safety, I think it was, or may have dropped the ball and the other team picked it up for a touchdown. I don't remember exactly how it worked, but he wound up going the wrong direction. We don't want to be going the wrong direction in our lives. That's not a good thing. We want to be going toward the goals that we've set. The problem is, sometimes we haven't set any goals. Sometimes we don't know where the goal line is. And if you don't know where the goal line is, it's hard to cross that goal line. And we want to look at that some this morning. And I want to encourage you, if you didn't pick up one of the yellow folded papers out there, you can pick one of those up. Or if you don't want that, I also have some full-size sheets where you can make a goal for yourself. And I just want to mention this real quickly and run through it. You know, a lot of times our goals are just too vague. They're more like hopes or dreams or wishes than actual goals. A goal has to be something that can be reached. It has to be something that can be, that is real and attainable. And so we want to do that if you're interested. And so I have those there for you. You know, it's coming up on New Year's resolution time, and people think about the new year. They've got lots of plans and dreams and wishes, and oh, I wanted to do this year, and I didn't get it to do it, and I'd like to do it next year. This is a good way to get it written down. They've done studies that found of people in college age groups that those, and then they checked them again 10 and 20 years later, and they found that those who in their college years, when they were going to school and they had hopes and dreams for the future, but those that wrote their goals down were much more likely to be successful later on than those that didn't. Now some of us were, well, I never write anything down. There's a good reason to write things down sometimes. And so this has several steps. Step one is to make it personal. You know, a lot of times we kind of say, well, there should be this or there should be that. That's very impersonal. We want to make it personal to us and not do things, well, so-and-so said I should. No. What do I want? What is my goal? Somebody else wanting me to do something is not a goal for me. And then the second step is be specific. Now we say, oh, I want to be a better Christian next year. Well, that's good that we want to be better Christians. How? What's your plan? What's your goal? In what way do you want to be a better Christian? Do you want to pray more? Do you want to read your Bible more? Do you want to be active in helping others more? Do you want to be active in inviting people to church more? Do you want to be... What do you want? You want to do more? You want to be a better... How? What area of Christianity do you want to work on? Be more specific about it. And then make it a measurable thing. You know, well, I want to read the Bible more. Okay. How are you going to accomplish that? Do you know how much you read it this year? If you didn't measure it, it's hard sometimes. It's kind of vague. You need to make it a measurable thing. Well, I want to read one chapter every day. Or I want to read 10 verses every day. Or I want to read, you know, through the whole Bible this year. Okay. Well, then how are you going to do that? Not only make it measurable, maybe put a time limit on it. I want to get this done by a certain date, a certain time. And then break it down and write it down. Okay, if I want to read through the whole Bible this year, well, I'm going to have to read 4 chapters every day to get to that goal. Or 5 chapters every day and take Sunday off and not read that day because we have church. Or you know, so whatever. But you have to figure out, well, how many chapters are there? How much do I have to read to get that goal accomplished each day? What am I going to have to do? And I've got on this sheet, I've got examples of some physical goals and also some spiritual goals along those lines. So, but if you want to do that, you're welcome to. If we run out, we can always make more copies. I want to encourage us to look for a way, something specific, that next year I want to do this better, I want to accomplish this better, and work on that. Make it something that is real in our lives, not just, well, you know, I've always wanted to grow as a Christian, but I just haven't ever done it. Let's be specific about what we want to do that's going to improve our Christian life. And that's part of this pressing toward the goal that we're talking about. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 through 16, Paul says, "Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, and being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained it, or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind me, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, that if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind." Now, Paul says a lot here in this section, and we don't have time to deal with all of it this morning. But we just want to focus in, really, on verse 14. But before we get to verse 14, just a little bit of a backdrop. Forgetting the past. Now, I know the old saying, those who don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it. You've heard that before. It doesn't mean, when he says forgetting the past, it doesn't mean we just forget that anything's ever happened in the past. But what he's talking about is we're not living in the past. I guarantee all of us have made some mistakes this year. We've done some things this year that we wished we hadn't done. We've failed to do some things this year that we know we should have done. Now, in this upcoming year, we can live, think about, well, I remember last year I messed this up and I did this wrong and, oh, this is bad and I did that bad. And we can live like that and we'll be miserable all year next year as well. Or we can put the past behind us. Not that we don't learn from our mistakes, not that we don't learn from the past, but that we just don't live there anymore. This year is quickly drawing to a close. There have been some good things that have happened this year. There have been some bad things that have happened to us this year. We need to put the past behind us and press toward what's ahead. Obviously, we can only live one day at a time. But we need to look forward to and press toward and set our goals toward the future, not the past. And that's the idea that Paul lays out in verse 13. He says, "I don't count myself to have apprehended. I've not achieved perfection. But I'm going to do this one thing. I'm going to forget the thing." Did Paul have some things in his past that he needed to forget? You know he did. Now, did that mean that he just pretended that he had never committed those sins and never persecuted the... No! In fact, there are several times in his letters that he reminds people, "Hey, you remember? I was one that persecuted the church, but God had grace on me. God saved me. And I'm the chief of sinners, but God can save me, and He can save you too." He talks a lot about that. Grace and forgiveness for those things in the past. Now, if you've got something in your life that you haven't made right, you need to get that right. Just forgetting the past when we haven't gone to God to get forgiveness of those things, that's not good. We need to get it straight with God. And if we've harmed somebody else, we need to go to that person and tell them we're sorry and try to get it right with them as well. Some people will let you, some people won't, but you do your part. But after that, and Paul did that, God forgave him for those times when he had even persecuted the church, and he was ready now to move forward. He was ready to move on. We need to forget about the past, living in the past. It doesn't mean we forget the people of the past or that we forget all the, you know, no, but we just aren't going to live there. We're going to press toward the future. And we notice here is in verse 14, the first thing he says is, "I press." Perhaps instead of a football field, maybe the thing that I should have put up there was the finish line of a race course, because really, you know, obviously they didn't have football back then. Those poor Greeks, they didn't. The poor Romans, they didn't have football. Oh well, that I guess they lived without it, and we could too if we had to, I suppose. But they talked a lot, and Paul talked a lot about running a race, finishing the course. And this terminology, I press, also has with it some of that idea of really driving towards something, really pushing hard to get somewhere. He's pressing. Now, I thought of football because I thought, you know, when you're running a race, yeah, you're kind of tired, you're thirsty, it's hot maybe sometimes, different things. But at least when you're running a race, you don't have people trying to tackle you and knock you down. So I thought football is even more appropriate for this idea because we're going to have obstacles. We're going to have people that are going to come in and try to knock us down. We're going to have things that are going to try to hinder us from reaching that goal. I don't care what goal you set. There are going to be things that are going to try to hinder you. It may just be you're tired. It may just be your own attitude or your own, you know, you just feel like, oh, well, I set that goal too high. I'll never make it. It could be any number of things like that, but it could be other people. Well, why do you want to do that for anyway? What's the point of that? It could be any number of things that are going to happen. It could just be events. You know, you might get sick. You might have some other problem that comes up in your life that keeps you from being able to do what you're wanting to do. Those things are going to happen. But this idea of pressing, it's a term that indicates a concerted effort. See, Paul didn't just say, I wander toward my goal. Or, you know, I just kind of meandered this way and that, hoping I'd reach my goal. That doesn't work that way. One of the stories, the illustrations that we have in the little handout, if you haven't seen that, or if you have, either way, is the one of somebody asking in Alice in Wonderland. She comes up to the Cheshire Cat, and she says, well, I really need to know which way I should go. And the cat says, well, where do you want to go? And she said, well, it doesn't really matter. And he says, well, then it doesn't really matter which way you go. And unfortunately, too many of us are living our lives with that, well, I'm just, you know, floating along, no real goal in sight, just, you know, enjoying life maybe. Whatever comes to me, I'll take it. But I don't really have a purpose in life. I don't really have something that I'm heading toward. Instead of being like the canoe where we're paddling and heading somewhere, we're just like the canoe that's floating lazily down the stream. And that all seems good and fine until we get to the rapids, doesn't it? And then when we get to the rapids and we hit that rough water, we get thrown out of that canoe. There are going to be some rough times in life, and if you don't have your paddle, if you're not trying to get somewhere, you're going to be tossed to and fro. You're not going to make it where you want to go. So it's important that we have an idea of wanting to press towards something. We must keep on keeping on. We can't quit. We can't give up. We can't say, oh, well, that's it. I'm not going to try anymore. We've got to either reach for perfection, attain our goals, reach for perfection, or die trying. You see, the Bible talks to us about being faithful until death. We keep trying to live for Christ as long as there's breath in our lives. Philippians 3:12. He says that, not that I've already attained or am already perfected. He knew he hadn't reached it. He knew he wasn't there yet. But he said, I do press on so that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold for me. I'm still trying to get there. Now, I dare say that none of us here have reached perfection yet. Probably most of us have got some goals that we've wanted to accomplish that we haven't made it. Don't give up. Keep on keeping on. Keep pressing toward those goals that we have in mind. But then he says, I press, he says then, toward the goal. You know, it doesn't matter how hard you're running. I can remember when I played junior high football. And I can remember watching Xander and Abigail play soccer when they were little bitty. You ever watch kids when they're playing a game like either football or soccer or whatever? They run back and forth the wrong way as much as they ever run the right way. I can remember in football, we had a running back. They'd give him the ball, and he would run all the way to that side. And then he'd run around all the way back to this side. He'd wind up getting 1 yard. He ran 150 yards back and forth and made it 1 yard forward. That's what they tell him all the time. Look, turn and go the way you want to go, toward the goal. You're going to tire yourself out running back and forth and never get any closer to your goal if you're not careful. And that's why it's important for us to have a goal, so we know which way to go, so we know which way to expend our energy. In life, a lot of times, we expend a lot of energy and a lot of time doing things that a year later we think back and we think, why did I waste my time on that? That wasn't what was important. I should have been doing this instead. Wouldn't it be better if we knew ahead of time what to be prioritizing our time and energy toward? Or maybe money. I don't know about you, but I've bought an awful lot of things in my life that if I could go back and talk to that fellow that bought them, I'd say, don't buy that, it's a waste of money. I can remember $1,000 vacuum cleaners that broke in 30 days. I remember a business opportunity. I was going to be a millionaire, and I think I lost about $500 on that deal. I remember all those things. We do that kind of stuff. And when we don't have a goal in mind, we don't have a plan in mind, goals are necessary if we're going to get anywhere and if we're going to know whether we've accomplished what we wanted to. Are we better Christians today than we were the last week of last year? Hard to know sometimes for some of us. How do I measure that? If I didn't have any goals, I didn't have anything to say, hey, I wanted to do this, I wanted to accomplish this, I wanted to get rid of this bad habit, I wanted to start this good habit, I wanted to... So it's hard for us sometimes to know. Am I stagnated in my Christian growth? Am I backsliding some? Or am I moving forward just a little bit? Or am I really growing by leaps and bounds? It's hard to know sometimes. If we don't have goals, goals are necessary. Can you imagine a race with no finish line? Who'd want to run that race? Anybody want to run the race with no finish line? Oh, I was reading about the Iditarod. That's one I don't ever want to be a part of, but boy, it does sound fascinating. That's up in Alaska. They take those sled dogs, those huskies and things, and they get them on that sled, and the guy rides it, and they pull, and they travel over 1,000 miles in that race. And in the bitter cold, through the snow and ice, and sometimes storms, and all sorts of things. But you know, if it was just start here and go there, it's 1,000 miles, it'll take you a couple weeks to get there, have fun. Probably not anybody would do it. But there are checkpoints along the way that they're supposed to reach. And at the checkpoint, they get to rest. They get to go in and sit down and warm up. And they get to sit by the fire and have a good meal and get some sleep. And so those checkpoints let them know that they're progressing along the right path. Goals in life are like that. We say, well, I want to get to heaven. Okay, good. That's a long-term goal. That's like the end of the Iditarod. We need some stair steps along the way to know we're moving in the right direction. And that's the kind of goals we're talking about. Now, certainly, Paul's talking about wanting to get to heaven, no doubt. But you can't just jump from here to up there. You've got to climb the ladder. You're going to have to take some steps to get there. It's uphill. It's just like if we were downstairs and we wanted to get up to the top of the stairs, we wouldn't just say, okay, I'm just going to jump from here up there. It doesn't work that way. We've got to take one or maybe two steps at a time, depending on how long our legs are and things. We'll get up to the top of the stairs if we take those steps. But goals are definitely necessary. If we don't have goals in your life, you will never be able to tell if you're a failure or if you're successful. You'll just know you lived a life. Well, did you accomplish anything with it? Sometimes I like to think of a goal as a target that you're aiming for. We talked about that earlier with this goal sheet. If I just say, well, I want to read the Bible more this year, because that's vague, there's nothing set to push me in a certain direction, I might or might not read a few chapters here and there, and I might read more and I might not. But if I set the goal, I want to read through the Bible this year. That's my 100%. You think about a bullseye, a shooting target. Bullseye is 100 right there in the middle, and then there's concentric rings, you know, there's 80 and 60 and 40 and 20 and, you know, like that on out. If I want to read through the entire Bible this year, and last year, you know, I might have read 50 chapters throughout the whole year. I might have read one a week maybe. But I want to read all the way through it this year. Make it all the way from beginning to end. Now, if I make that goal, that's hitting the bullseye. That's what I was aiming for. But most of you have ever either shot a gun or arrows or anything like that, you know, you don't... If you hit the bullseye every time, you're either standing right there at it or you're an incredible marksman, because I've never met anybody that hit the bullseye every time. But if you're aiming for that bullseye, even if you hit off, maybe you hit the 60, maybe you hit the 40, What if your goal, I'm going to read through the whole Bible this year. What if you only make it halfway through? Was that more than the 50 chapters you read? You're going the right direction. You're making progress. Even if you don't completely hit the goal in the bullseye, you've still done more in the right direction than you would have if you hadn't set the goal to start with. And that's the idea of the goal, is to get us going in the right direction, to help us have something to aim for. Goals need to be a little ambitious. You know, if I say, well, my goal is to, you know, eat a meal every day this year. That's not really a very ambitious goal. Most of the time we do that pretty well, don't we? It's rare that we go a day without eating a meal. It's not an ambitious goal. But if we want to really stretch ourselves, if we want to really grow, we've got to make goals be something that are pushing us. All right, for the prize. Now, Paul's prize ultimately was eternal life. That's ours as well, isn't it? That's the goal that we're ultimately reaching for. He hadn't reached it yet. Heaven was still in his future, but he was still working toward it. And he still had things he wanted to accomplish along the way. He still had places he wanted to go preach. He had people he wanted to write to. He had things he wanted to do along the way to get there. That should say chapter 4 in verses 12 and 13. Forgot the chapter 3 rather in verses 12 through 13. I forgot the chapter number on that one. But he says, not that I've already attained it. I don't count myself to have apprehended it. But I'm going to press forward. I'm going to reach forward to the things ahead of me. And he continued to have things to reach for in the future. The problem with not having goals in life is that many times it gets to the point that you don't have anything to look forward to. There's no goal ahead of you. There's nothing to live for tomorrow. There's nothing to live for the next day. There's nothing ahead of us to strive for. We need to have some goals in our lives to reach that prize. And we have to realize there's a prize. Sometimes we think about some things, especially spiritual disciplines like reading the Bible, studying the Bible, praying, things like that, service, serving others. We think about those kinds of things. Sometimes we think, well, what's the prize? You know, I'm out the time and the energy or whatever of doing that. Well, what do I get out of it? What's the reward? Well, they say, oh, of course, a good deed is its own reward. But the fact of the matter is, people like to see some reward. Well, wouldn't it be nice when somebody asks you that Bible question to be able to have an answer for it? Wouldn't it be nice when somebody says, I really need somebody to pray for me, and you could say, hey, I'm going to pray for you and really mean it and not just be saying it? You know, I've had some people say, well, I'll pray for you, and I think, I doubt they ever will. I've had other people say, I'll pray for you, and I knew they were going to pray for me, and it was going to mean something. We get rewards that aren't monetary, but ultimately, of course, our ultimate reward is to be in heaven with God, to enjoy that time with Him. And the upward call of God. God always calls us upward, doesn't He? Up closer to Him. He wants us to be more like Him. He wants us to be closer to Him. Constantly, that's the call that God has. God never calls us to do something that would take us further away from Him. Now, it's just amazing sometimes the things that the people who call themselves Christians, well, I just felt called by God to leave my wife and go chase my dream. What? God's never going to call you to go do something like that. Well, you know, it just felt like the right thing to do, to go do this, and it's something that took them farther and further away from God. God doesn't call us to do things that will take us away from Him. He calls us toward Him, upward, closer to Him, constantly. God wants us to be growing. Ephesians 4:11 through 16. It's the reason He established the church in the way that He did. And putting, you know, He gave the apostles and the prophets, evangelists, elders or pastors, and teachers, all these things. It's to keep us growing, to help us grow. He wants us to be growing. And ultimately, of course, He wants us in heaven with Him. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord's not slack concerning His promise. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants us to be with Him. And we can be if we'll set those goals and head toward Him. Answer that upward call that Paul talks about here in Philippians 3. But then, of course, he says the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You see, God's call is in Christ. God's not going to call us to Him through Buddha. He's not going to call us to Him through Muhammad or through some New Age, touchy-feely, ambiguous type of spiritualism. No, God's call is through Jesus Christ. And Christ said so too. No one comes to the Father but by Me. That's it. We've got to go through Christ Jesus. His call is for those who are in Christ Jesus to come up here with Me. Reach up here. Move toward Me. Come closer to Me. People say sometimes, well, I feel like God's so far away. We used to be close, and now we're not close anymore. And I've heard it a number of times, and you have too. Well, who moved? God didn't move away. If we're not as close to God as we used to be, it's because we moved away from Him, not because He moved away from us. God doesn't change. He doesn't move. He is holy and righteous, and He's there. And if we're moving closer to holiness and righteousness, then we're going to be closer to Him. If we're moving further away, then we're going to be further away from Him. But always in Christ Jesus is the way that it needs to be. All spiritual blessings are in Christ. Ephesians 1:3 tells us. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's in Christ. And that's where the call is. And that's where our goals need to be. And that's where, ultimately, our prize is going to be. You see, it's kind of like any of these marathons that people run. I've never won the prize in any of the marathons. The first and foremost reason for that is I've never entered one. Now, even if I entered one, I wouldn't win. I wouldn't get the prize. I can promise you that. I probably wouldn't finish the race. I don't know if I could do 5K, much less a marathon. But I know that as long as I don't ever try and don't ever enter the race, I'll never get the prize. Well, we can't get the prize of eternal life through Christ Jesus if we don't enter the race. There's no condemnation in Christ, Romans 8, 1-2 tells us. Eternal life is in Christ, Romans 6:23 tells us. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That eternal life is there for us in Christ Jesus, however. In fact, a form of the phrase in Christ or in Jesus or in Christ Jesus or in Jesus Christ or some form like that is used about 107 times in the New Testament. That makes it a pretty important concept, being in Christ. We need to think about our lives this morning. Are you in Christ? God wants you to be, but it's up to you. He's not going to put anyone in Christ against their will. He's not going to make you be in Christ. But if you're not, and you want to be, you can be today. If you believe in Jesus Christ, if you're willing to repent of your sins, confess Him as the Son of God, you can be baptized and wash your sins away and be put into Christ, be added to the body of Christ by the Lord. If you're not in Christ, it's a good time. What a good way to get ready to start a new year. Get yourself in Christ where you ought to be. If you are in Christ, are you pressing toward heaven? Are you pressing toward the goal? Are you making some stair-step goals along the way to know you're headed the right direction? You know, in cross-country running, there are markers along the way to let people know they're still headed the right way. They're on the right path. Are you setting some markers in your life so you know I'm headed the right direction? Is heaven your goal? You know, some people say, well, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I'm in Christ. But I've got this goal and that goal and all my goals are worldly goals. I'm not headed toward heaven. That's not even my goal. I've got my eyes so focused on the physical life that I can't even see spiritual things. Is heaven your goal? Are you keeping your eyes fixed on that goal? You know, it's a dangerous thing when you take your eyes off your goal. In racing, you know, they've got lanes painted. And you've got to stay in that lane. And if you're spending too much of your time looking over your shoulder at things behind you or looking off out at the crowd, you're liable to go out of your lane and you'll be disqualified. And it works the same way with us as Christians. If we look behind us too much or we look around us at the world too much, we're liable to wander off the path and get caught up in the world and not finish the race. That's a sad thing, to start the race toward heaven and never finish it. Are you living a life that shows you want to be in heaven? These are some things we need to consider this morning. If you're here and you have a need to respond to God's invitation for any reason, please do so as we stand and as we sing.